And good morning. You are listening to WKAR, your NPR station. I'm Brooke Allen, and most Mondays at 8:30 here on Morning Edition, we talk with local leaders. We do call it Mondays with the Mayor. And today, we have a very special guest with us, Flint Mayor Karen Weaver. And good morning.
Good morning.
And we have so much to talk to you about that we're actually going to have an expanded edition of this segment, so we can talk about the latest on the water crisis, the recent movie that just aired over the weekend.
Yes.
And a few more questions.
So okay.
Thank you for coming in this morning.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
So we do want to be upfront that we do know you're on the ballot along with 17 other candidates next Tuesday for a combined recall and mayoral vote. Primarily, most of our questions will be about the city and not your campaign.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, how was the weather on your drive?
It wasn't bad. It was not bad. A little bit of rain, but we got through it.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. Now that I got the weather forecast out of the way, I'm happy. So let's start off. Last week, the Flint City Council voted to extend a water contract for two more years, despite the judge's order that it come up with a long-term solution to get residents past the lead contamination crisis. Can you explain about the council's actions and your thoughts on that?
I can't explain about their actions at all because it really makes no sense. One of the things, first of all, how do you negotiate something by yourself? They had not talked with Great Lakes, and to do a two-year contract is not something that I know they're interested in doing. And it's really disappointing. It's very disappointing when not all of the council, but many of them, voted for that. Because we had been, we worked on this deal for months. For months and months and months, and we had so many experts around the table helping us to come to the best decision. And we looked at about 10 or 11 different options before a decision was made, and our priority was first public health, because we know that wasn't taken into consideration the last time decisions were made about our water source, and then being financially responsible. And we were able to hit both of those. We hit them both. And so we were quite excited because people had talked about not wanting to stay with KWA. We knew we were on a good water source with Detroit. That's where we were before getting water from, Lake Huron. We were also able to get out of that $7 million a year bond payment, and we got access to the Water Relief Assistance Program. And while we have some aid for people that need help paying their water bills, it's temporary because it came through donations that people made through the water crisis. So once that money is gone, that money is gone. And with going back with Great Lakes, that's something that we have permanent access to. It also gave us a backup source, and we had not had a backup source of water. And it gave us some revenue because we owned what we had already put into. So the water that we owned, we were going to be able to sell. And that's one of the things that's been difficult for Flint, is we've lost that revenue because we used to sell water, and we got our pipe back that the emergency manager took from us. We like to say stole from us. So it was a really, really good deal for the people. And when you put public health first and you're able to come up with all of these positives, how do you not go with it? And to say 30 years is too long just boggles my mind, because before what they had in place was a 40-year deal, and attached to that was a $7 million a year bond payment that we were able to get out. And when we looked at the other contracts with municipalities, they were 30 years. And so 30 years is not unheard of. It's a way to stabilize the rates and have predictable rates. And we've seen water deals where they've been 50 years, up to 99 years. So 30 years is normal.
So that wasn't asking too much.
It wasn't asking too much at all.
Right. Okay. So the state of Michigan is suing Flint to force it to make the 30-year deal. There's lawsuits. What do you think about that?
It's really too bad. It's really sad that it had to get to this point to be sued. And so it's somebody else, even though we like, the city, the administration component of the city does like what the judge has done. But it's bad when somebody else from the outside has to come in and make decisions for you and about you, because we fought so long. We were under emergency manager, and to fight to get local power back, home rule back, was a task. And while we don't have it completely, we have 90 to 95% of it back. We still have the Receiver Transition Advisory Board in place, but we fought to get our voice back and to be able to make decisions about ourselves. And so to have somebody else come in from the outside to have to make a decision is really, really sad.
So do you think before the water crisis happened, do you feel like there's always been somebody from the outside coming in and kind of controlling everything? How long have you been mayor?
It will be 2 years in November.
Okay.
But we had an emergency manager for about 6 years. So that's a long time to be voiceless, because when the emergency manager comes in, they take the power from the mayor and the city council. And we had four different emergency managers in that time frame. So it's just, how do you let that happen again? How do you let that happen again? And then when you attach the amount of money that we're losing as a result of doing this month-to-month contract, it just makes no sense for a city that is financially strapped and was taken into receivership because of bad decisions about finances.
Okay, so let's talk about the people of Flint.
Okay, let's talk about them. They are great people.
Let's talk about those people.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the population of Flint?
About 100,000.
Okay. And so when you are out or traveling around, mm-hmm. and you've had to do that a lot.
A lot, yes.
So when you're out and people find out that you're the mayor of Flint, mm-hmm. tell me the first reaction you get.
When I'm out traveling around, they want to shake my hand, they want to hug me, and they tell me that, you know, you've really been doing a great job. And, you know, that, and they also say, you know, we've been praying for you. They always let us know we've been praying for you. We think about you. And what's so interesting is it doesn't seem to matter where I go. I run into someone that says, we sent you all water. We sent you filters. We sent donations. But they did something to reach out and help Flint. And we have appreciated it so much. And you know, there was another consequence that came from that. That was, they talked about the bonding that it did for them in their city or hometown as a result of coming together doing something for another place that was in need. So it's been really, really nice.
And you also hear on the national level of people or other cities testing their water, right?
Yes, and I'm glad, you know, because one of the things we wanted to have happen as a result of this crisis is that people learn from us. And they use us as their voice as well, because while we know that we weren't the first city to have issues like, you know, water issues, we were the first ones to have this particular type of crisis. And we said, if people don't learn from us, then shame on them. And to please use us to learn from us and to use our voice to get what you need. And don't let this happen in your city or hometown.
Okay, so a prosecutor, special prosecutor, says he will add a charge of involuntary manslaughter mm-hmm. against Michigan's chief medical executive in the criminal investigation.
Correct.
So what do you think about that?
You know, well, one thing we've always said is what happened in Flint is criminal. We've said that because not only have some people been permanently damaged, whether it was physically, mentally, or emotionally, we had people that died. You know, we lost 12 or 13 people as a result of Legionnaires. We've had people that, you know, when you look at our birth rate and our miscarriage rate during this water crisis, that went up. And so that was criminal when people have lost their lives or have been permanently damaged as a result of what happened. So I'm not surprised by it. And one of the things we've always wanted is for people to be held accountable.
And the accountability factor, mm-hmm. how far do you think that goes? Or how far do you think
well,
that should go?
You know, it should go however far it needs to, because one of the things we know is there were missteps and misinformation from the local, state, and federal level. So they can take it as high as they need to.
And the city is replacing pipes?
We are replacing pipes, and we're doing really, really good with that. And we got help from Lansing.
And are you on track?
We are on track. I don't have the count. There will be a new count that comes out today. Okay. But we were over 5,000 last week. We were 5,000, close to 5,200. So we're on track for the 6,000. And let's pray for a mild winter so we can keep
right.
working.
Oh, we have so far, right?
Yes, so far, so good.
So far, so good.
Yes.
So there was a Lifetime movie.
There was.
Over the weekend?
Yes.
And what did you think of that? Did you watch it?
You know what? I did watch some of it. I didn't get to see it in its entirety, but, you know, it was interesting to me because the person running against me, my opponent, Scott Kincaid, who has been on city council for 32 years, was, you know, we've been trying to tell people he had something to do with this. And they even showed it in the movie where he sat there as people came to city council meeting and said, there's something wrong with this water. And he said the water was fine. Drink up. It was in our minds. He said it was, you know, it was psychological, and we had to get past the psychology of drinking out of the Flint River. And so it was shown right there in the movie again. And I think, you know, it's really interesting because I remember when I was campaigning, and, you know, it brings back so many thoughts and memories that he endorsed Dane Walling, who had been part of telling us to drink up, and now he wants us to reward him for helping to poison us. I just think it's unbelievable.
So that was part of the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that brought it back.
And yeah, it brought it back home, not just for me, but for so many people who have said, you know what, we lost focus of how, you know, who started this thing.
It is Monday with the Mayor, and our mayor this morning is Flint Mayor Karen Weaver. And again, thank you for joining us today. And so we had left it with talking about the movie that aired over Lifetime on the weekend. And Queen Latifah was in that. And I know through this these last couple of years, you've had the opportunity to meet how many celebrities do you think?
You know, I don't know. It's been a lot. And you know what? And we have to thank them because they really helped us to put Flint in the spotlight, because that's what had been missing. We had been dealing with this crisis for a year and a half before even people throughout the state knew what was going on. And so when celebrities started coming in, it really took it to a whole nother level. But I have to say, Rachel Maddow was the first one to really get us out there and get us going. And she did such an excellent job about bringing Flint to the forefront, because she talked about us every single day, every single day. But we did. We had celebrities come through and helped us to keep the story of Flint out there. And we're so, I mean, even right now, you know, thank you to you, because you're helping us keep this story out there. And people in Flint have been fearful that this story would go away. And one of the things we've said is it shouldn't go away, because people are looking to see what's going to happen in Flint. And they're looking for part two of Flint, because you know that when there's a crisis, there comes opportunity. And so how do we take advantage of the opportunities that come as a result of this crisis? And we also want people to pay attention to Flint, because we've said there are Flints all across this country, when you know you have an aging infrastructure all across the country, and we have not really kept up with water quality standards and making sure we're doing everything to have the highest water quality standards that people deserve to have, especially in 2017. And so Flint is like the poster child for those things. So we really want to keep us out front.
So what is your biggest fear for Flint?
My biggest fear for Flint is that we will not get everything that we deserve as a result of what's happened, and that people don't fully learn lessons from us.
What's your biggest hope for Flint?
My biggest hope is that I believe we will be, you know, one of the greatest comeback stories around, because we have so many opportunities right now, and it's been really exciting, and people are looking at Flint. I mean, it was probably a month ago that the Lear Corporation came in, and we did a groundbreaking ceremony. They're putting a factory in Flint, and it's the first factory that's been built from the ground up in Flint in over 30 years, and they're bringing jobs. And so for them to come and invest $30 million in the city of Flint was a big deal for us, and it is a big deal, because it brings jobs to the city of Flint, and it also lets people know that we're making progress, because had we not addressed this water issue, who would come? And so it shows we're making progress and that Flint is worth the investment. And so that's, you know, there's some exciting things that are going on.
So you have the water crisis going on, and then recently, it was June, I think, when Lieutenant Jeff Neville at Bishop International Airport was stabbed.
Yes.
So again, everyone flocked to Flint.
They flocked to Flint.
And you saw all the news crews.
Yes.
And what were you thinking at that moment of?
I just couldn't believe it. I was like, of all places for this to happen, and to have this person drive to Flint. and you wonder, was that intentional? I mean, did you pick Flint because we were in the spotlight? I mean, what was going on? But it goes back to, you know, it's interesting because if we didn't have this water crisis, public safety would be the number one issue. And we've been working and dealing with that as well. And we've made some significant progress and improvements in those areas as well.
Last summer, WKR's Kevin Lavery reported on Flint dismantling the Hamilton Dam, and which has gone into disrepair and rerouting other parts of the river. So how give us the update on that.
You know what? That's some exciting news because we are this gave us an opportunity to really I'm trying to think of what the word is. But, you know, when you hear Flint River, you think negative because you think of a city that's been poisoned by the Flint River. And so this gave us a chance to redo the Flint River, actually, and make it a positive for the city of Flint. Because so many places, thriving cities, if you have water that goes right through downtown, you can make that an economic development, recreation kind of place. And so that's what's happening. And so while the dam is getting addressed, we're also, the river is being cleaned out. We're looking at putting walking trails and biking trails and having what do you call those things? Kayaks and that kind of thing going through. And so we want to change the image of the Flint River and give it a positive and have it, you know, something that attracts people and not just have these negative memories and images of the Flint River. Because when you think about it, it wasn't the river that poisoned us. It was the people that didn't put the corrosion control in the water. But it's really given the river a bad name. So we have a chance to really change that and turn that around.
How are the kids in Flint doing?
You know what? Kids are probably doing better than adults because we know the impact of what happened and we know the seriousness of it. And kids, depending on the age, don't know some of those kinds of things. But it's bad when kids know to be fearful of water. You know, and that's what we don't like. You know, that psychological issue of I'm scared to drink water is something that no child or actually no adult should have to deal with.
Yeah, it's
and it's something that all of us have had to deal with. One of the good things is, you know, you always protect your most vulnerable first. And so our first issue was, what do we do for our kids? And so one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was get resources for our children and put a safety net around them and make sure they have access to clean water and make sure they have the lead mitigating diet that they need to have. And we've been putting playgrounds in because we know physical fitness is a component of that. We've been able to go from one school nurse to nine school nurses because we know our children need that. And we've been able to enhance the mental health services because we know that's going to be an issue as well. We also got a recast grant for the city of Flint, which deals with mental health issues. But we've got to watch our children, and that's why it was so important to get money for them, because we know some kids are going to be impacted for the rest of their lives. And some of it is a wait and see, because while something may not be displayed right now, we don't know that this same group of kids in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years will display something that's particular to them having ingested lead.
Well, thank you so much. I have one more question, and then we have wrap up. And 25, 50 years from now, when you think back to this time in your life, what's one word that you'll think of?
Strong. Strong. Because the people of the city of Flint are strong, and we're resilient, and we're fighters. For some reason, we're known as fighters, and we'll continue to fight. And I think that's why, you know, one of the things you and I talked about as I was coming in were Flintstones. And so we call ourselves Flintstones because we're strong, and we say, welcome to bedrock.
Thank you so much, Flint Mayor Karen Weaver.